Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. That over there is Maria. And guys, today is all about the Ukraine. Well, actually, Ukraine. It was the Ukraine in Soviet times. Now it is just Ukraine. So that was my first thing I've already learned. So guys, basically the way this breaks down is we've switched the format up. We're changing it more to a podcast. Maria is the voice you've always heard on this channel, so that will sound familiar to you. I was always behind the scenes putting together the information. So anybody that's come over from the previous iteration of Undiscovered Worlds, welcome. We're glad you guys are here. What we're going to start doing now is we're going to kind of pick a topic that we enjoy or we want to learn more about or get a suggestion from you guys. We're going to scour the internet for all the fun stuff we can find, throw it on a Word document, and just kind of go back and forth with some of the fun stuff we came across. So, Mar, you want to get us started on Ukraine?
Yes, I do. And I'm so glad you made that distinction because that was one of the most important things that I learned, that we don't realize the simple meaning of the compared to just. Like, you don't say the Colombia, you say Colombia. So It took me a second to realize, well, it's about the same thing. And it has a lot to do with the history and where they came from. So out of respect, I'm so glad that was the first thing that you mentioned. But one thing I learned about it that I thought was really fun, everybody likes breakfast in the morning and have, in the US, most people like to have their cereal or some sort of bread. In Colombia, we have corn for our arepas. So to tie it up with Ukraine, Ukraine is known as the breakfast basket of Europe, because they have excellent conditions for wheat to grow and significant production of grain. So, breakfast of Europe.
And the reason I made the distinction was I came across the fact as I was doing mine, and it's not at the top of my list, so this isn't my fact for the term. But basically, the Ukraine translates to the borderlands, if you were to do it in the native languages. So then when it became Ukraine, That's why dropping the became an interesting distinction there. But I'm going to start with, well, fun stuff, engineering stuff, invention stuff. There was a Ukrainian engineer named Vladimir Tatarenko, and he designed an airplane with a detachable cabin. So basically, if there's an emergency, the cabin breaks away and deploys a parachute and then can float the passengers safely to the ground. So clearly this isn't a 747 or something. This is like a smaller kind of Cessna-style deal. But I thought that was pretty inventive. It seems logical, and then I was curious how many people it could hold and all the dynamics, and I'm like, you guys don't need all that. It's just an interesting invention unto itself.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And speaking of inventions and things like that, I discovered that Ukraine actually has the second deepest subway station in the world.
Okay.
Which to me was mind-boggling. It's like, okay. There's actually, if you think of the Statue of Liberty, so imagine putting the Statue of Liberty in plus 12 meters more, like a ton more.
Okay.
So that gives you a dimension of how deep this station is. And it's in Kiev. It's called the Arsenalna, okay. A metro stop in Kiev. So I was really impressed by that.
Okay. I'm going to go a little bit back in time and throw in a little animal. If you guys don't know, basically this coming back over here and doing this format was spun out of us doing our other channel, and it's called Wild Chats. If you guys are interested in animals, go check that out. We won't be doing any animal fact videos on this channel. They're all over there. We do a lot of videos where we play kind of funny clips, and Maria hasn't got to see him, so she gets a genuine like first look response at him, and then we chat. So I like to throw
Wild Chats.
Yeah, hence Wild Chats, exactly. We were having so much fun with it. We're like, you know what? Let's go back over to Undiscovered and have some fun and do some topics that aren't animals. So that's why we're back. But a Ukrainian farmer in 1965 found the lower jawbone of a mammoth. So he decided to keep digging. And then he found the presence of four different huts and then 149 other mammoth bones. But the cool thing is the huts, the dwellings, were actually dated to be about 15,000 years old, which makes them some of the oldest shelters that were ever built in the world. Yeah.
That is very surprising.
Yeah. So we get the breadbasket food-wise. We got the origin of shelters. We got some cool inventions. We're on a roll.
Well, speaking of cool things, they also have in the olden times, they would actually communicate using instruments of wind instruments. And the world's longest wind instrument is called the trembita. And the trembita is like a trumpet, and it could range anywhere from 3 meters to 8 meters long.
Okay.
So very, very, very long. And they're used in mound villages. So where they actually communicate to notify events or the conclusion of
Oh.
the workday, just like in many, at least Latin countries, they use the bells, the church bells, to indicate kind of when mass is going or the time of the day it is. So they'll mark the hour. So 6 a.m. bell, 12.
Yeah.
So this trumpet will actually indicate there will be a childbirth, a marriage, or even if there was danger. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess I've seen them in like cartoons and stuff where it's got like there's the long nozzle and then it rests on the ground and then the little hoop up. And I don't know that I've ever seen one in real life, but I feel like I've only ever seen something like. Now, I don't know that these are designed that way, but if something's going to be eight like that long, it would have to be supported in some fashion. So,
Exactly. You're not going to carry an 8 meter long thing. I mean, that's
yeah. So. We're coming up to Halloween. We got a little while to go. We're on our ramp to Halloween. And so that always makes me think pumpkins. And then it's Starbucks and it's pumpkin spice season and all that other good stuff. So I have all these happy thoughts that revolve around pumpkins. But apparently, if you're Ukrainian, you probably don't think too fondly of pumpkins. Because back in the day, apparently, you would go like call on somebody for marriage. Like these are the days where you'd like go visit someone's house, or and they might still do this in small villages and stuff like that. And basically, you would propose marriage to the girl at her house. If she says yes, you're kind of welcomed in. There's a big party, celebration, drinks, all that good stuff. If she says no, sometimes she'll say no and then do this, or sometimes she'll just do this. But apparently, they just give you a pumpkin. And it's like a consolation prize or a way of saying no without having to say no, so it's not as abrasive. So
That's a polite way.
they would give the suitor a pumpkin, and that was the way of saying no, thank you. And then he would walk away with his consolation prize.
Oh. Well, there has to that's actually a very polite way of saying no without being like, no, thank you, you know. So I want to talk then, since you're in the spirit of Halloween, we cannot ignore the different cryptids and critters that may roam around. So there was a spill in 1986. There was a radiation at Chernobyl, much one of the biggest in the world of radiation exposure, and many areas in Ukraine, in the Belarus area, and the borders with Russia, all that area literally got contaminated, hundreds and hundreds of miles contaminated, which created radioactive animals, which started then creating a lot of cryptids around that. Anywhere from gigantic catfish that will hunt people to bats that turn into vampires and humans. And one of the folklores also was the one-eyed male goblin, a bad spirit that could cling to your neck. And he was portrayed in many versions and many fairy tales to teach children about morals and lessons.
So
But
since
then
we're not,
another spirit,
hold on 1 second. Since we're not on Wild Chats, I want to break this down for everybody so they don't get like lost. For you, those of you out there that don't know what a cryptid is, it's usually a mythical animal that a culture has kind of brought up. So for us, Bigfoot would be a cryptid. Like it's something we've talked about, we've never seen, it isn't proven. So in the Chernobyl area, what she's saying is because there are actual radioactive animals. It then begat this creation of new cryptids and new myths of animals people may have seen. So, sorry, go ahead, Maria.
Thank you. And in reality, the radioactive animals have spread throughout Europe. So many, like gray wolves, have actually been seen with some radioactive still traces in them. But the thing about it is, when you think of radioactive, you think of animals getting bigger, but the reality is actually animals get smaller. So it's pretty fascinating.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off there. I didn't. You had so much fun stuff to say, and I didn't want people to get distracted.
I'm glad you specified.
Okay. All right. What is this, like show two? We're still working out the groove, guys. But yes, exactly. Okay. You know tumbleweeds? You ever seen like an old Western? Like they got the tumbleweeds rolling across the prairies. Did you know that tumbleweeds are an invasive species?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. And apparently they come from Ukraine. They're actually a specific type of thistle that breaks off the stem and then they go tumbling in the wind like we see in our old Western films.
More like sage.
And as they grow, they spread seeds. Well, apparently the thistle seeds showed up in South Dakota in the 1870s by accident when it was brought in a Ukrainian sack of flaxseed that they had imported. There was some of this thistle seed, and then because they propagate so well as they roll, they're giving off hundreds of seeds that basically tumbleweeds were brought over from Ukraine.
Oh, no, that sounds like a nightmare. The problem is there are many things that get imported, and they're hard to see. Like, we actually right now in the U.S. are having issues with some Chinese fire moth. They brought some rocks from China and it had some of those eggs. And now it's a huge problem eating all the vineyards. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't heard of that, well, now you have. But yes. So there's actually a lot of history in Ukraine. And that includes Lavra statues. And Lavra are large statues with very rich monasteries or monasteries that are of very grand importance that have cultural centers and that are cultural centers, and they have special privileges. That's what a Lavra status means.
Okay.
So they actually have three Ukrainian monasteries that have that status, and that is the Holy Dormition Lavra of Pochaev. I'm going to butcher them. So there are three monasteries that resemble a UNESCO cultural heritage site there.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people don't know, too. And we talked about this. We will be talking about this, actually. But they still use an older calendar for their religious celebrations and stuff. So their Christmas is actually in January. And so things are a little bit different. But they are, for the most part, Orthodox Christian. Mm-hmm. Country, but their calendars are a little different, so their worship's a little bit different. If you know much about the Orthodox side of that,
and the interesting thing about that Orthodox Christians is one of those monasteries is the second most significant place of religious worship after Jerusalem.
Yeah,
so this is no joke. These Lavra status are.
That's why I wanted to bring it up. I think sometimes we get caught up in the detail and in the specific phrasing, and it's really not that. It's exactly what you said. It's UNESCO heritage. It's a huge place of worship. It's a pivotal site for that side of Christianity, Catholicism, that Orthodox side. And those are the important pieces.
Yeah. That's why when I was to butcher those names, I'm like, that's not the point. The point is the grandeur of what these means. And that's beautiful.
You got it. Well, this is fun. So you just mentioned Jerusalem. Did you know that there is a Jewish-themed restaurant in Ukraine at the Golden Rose where patrons dress in traditional Jewish garb and haggle over the prices of their meals?
That is awesome. The haggle part is the best part.
Yeah. It's a traditional, but then it's, yeah, I thought that was fun. I wanted to delve deeper into it, and I'm like, if I do that, I'm going down a rabbit hole, and I'm going to spend 20 minutes researching this one restaurant. So I'm going to leave it surface level. If you guys want to know more about it, you guys can go look it up. It's the Golden Rose, so you guys can look that up.
So it's been classified that Ukrainian is one of the most beautiful languages in the world. They actually have... was ranked as the second most melodious language in 1934, only behind Italian.
I'd like to know.
Who would have thought it?
and how far they traveled in 1934. It wasn't as easy to get around back then.
And on also, it was ranked as the third most beautiful language in the same year behind only French and even Persian. So that was very surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because French. I would have thought French, for sure. Then Italian, because of the and even Romanian. I mean, those Romance languages are very melodious.
It's a tough one, though, yeah. Let's see. So we'll jump ahead just a little bit to Christmas, now that we know that it's a little bit, it's on a different time frame than it would be for us in the United States. But an artificial spider and web are often included in the decorations for Ukraine during their Christmas celebrations on their Christmas trees. And the spider is basically thought to bring good luck. So that's why you'll see spiders on webs for their Christmas stuff, where we more focus on the stockings and the... I think I did this fact before. Well, no, I haven't. It was coming up in a future video. But if you guys have those circus animal cookies, we were talking about this in our one of our animal videos. They actually were meant to be Christmas ornaments. That's why the string is on the top and then the circus is painted in the front. And another fun fact is they did a survey of kids. I think they were like 7 or 9 years old, because all the animal cookies are the same size. Kids actually thought giraffes were as big as elephants because they had no other exposure to the animals, all thanks to the animal crackers. I love that one.
I know you do. That's one of your favorite facts, because it is very hilarious, our perception as a child. Even if you have gone to the zoo, what you see every day becomes like the norm, even if you have been to the zoo. Also because you see the animals from afar.
Yeah, exactly. You see them from afar, you don't have a point of reference. Even when you see them on TV, it's usually from afar, so the elephant doesn't look that much smaller than the giraffe and stuff.
And you usually don't see them together, so it's harder, even though you know the neck of a giraffe is tall.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like to bring some facts in from the Animal Channel. We try to avoid the animal facts here so we can use them over there, but I like to pull a few in on occasion.
Why not? To me, talking about at least one animal per episode.
We got mammoths. We also got mammoths. We got a moth, the fire moths you were talking. See, we got a lot of animal stuff.
Yes, exactly. And some weird cryptids. Thank you for breaking down the meaning of cryptids. So speaking of learning and things like that, opening of the first university in Eastern Europe, the Ostrong Academy is the oldest scientific and educational institution in Ukraine, and is the first higher education institution in the whole Eastern Europe. Was founded in 1576.
Okay.
500 years after Oxford, but.
Yes, yeah, a little later. So there is a group of women apparently in Ukraine that formed a modern Amazon tribe called Asgarda. And their goal is to have complete autonomy for men. When I say Amazon, I mean Greek, like ancient Greek Amazon, not in the Amazon. And they train in different martial arts and sciences, and they live in the Carpathian Mountains.
Oh, wow. One of them called Diana?
I don't know. Breakaway warrior woman. I'm not sure. I don't know what the translation to Diana would be in the in Ukrainian, but, you know, I'm sure it'd be melodic.
What was her mom's name? I forgot. In the movie.
I can't think of it either.
Something with a P, but it wasn't Persephone. No. So when you have a wedding celebration, most of the time, or actually in many traditions around the world, the wedding ring goes on the left finger. But according to my research, wedding bands actually go on the right hand, not on the left. And that is because Ukrainians deem that it was unclean to use the left hand. So it was appropriate to actually wear on the right.
Okay.
The right hand, on the other hand, was revered by the ancestors as a son. Ancestors.
You got it. Go.
Thank you. As a sign of strength, wisdom, and good change. So wedding bands on the right, everyone.
All right, so this is my kind of ingenuity here. So there was a campaign to remove all the statues of Vladimir Lenin, and kind of erase that part of their history. But then if you're going to do that, you've got to change all the streets. Because much like we have a lot of Martin Luther King streets around the United States, and there's certain common names, Lennon Street was a popular street name. So what they did is they basically just added a word to the beginning of Lennon Street. Maria, would you like to take a guess? I don't have any trivia questions for this episode, so this will be a mid-trivia question. You guys in the audience too. What word did they add to the beginning of Lennon Street? So it
Which
was built
year was
on
this? When was
what?
this?
What's
Well,
that?
what when was this? 1940s, 1960s, 1970s?
I don't know. I'm gonna guess it was. I really don't know. I don't have a year on it. I didn't look it up. It's kind of
Okay.
irrelevant. So.
Okay. No, the reason I ask is because I'm trying to come up with who else, and the only person that comes in mind when you think of Lennon would be John Lennon.
That's it. Good job. They just added the word John in front of all the Lennon streets in Ukraine, and now it's all John Lennon Street.
Well, let it be. It works. So, when you think of Ukrainian food, you may think of borscht or like different soups and kielbasas or things like that. But actually, the second most frequented restaurant chain in the world, can you imagine what is it?
McDonald's.
You two have given time. Hello.
Is that right? I'm sorry. Guys, that was just my smart aleck response because McDonald's is so popular that I did not in any way think that was going to actually be the answer because this was not in my research. So, just so you guys know, usually towards the end of the video, we'll do these trivia questions where we'll ask the question, we'll give everybody in the audience an opportunity to answer. So you guys can kind of yell at the screen or think we're idiots because we don't know it, or and then we'll give hints as we go along if the other person can't get it. I just because I was just being a smart aleck, because I like to do that on these trivia questions, because a lot of times you just it's like, okay, I have no idea. So I apologize to everybody for having ruined McDonald's for them. But sometimes I feel like McDonald's has ruined themselves for themselves. So it wasn't my fault. They did it before I did.
I thought that was hilarious because you were just trying to be smart about it and you were right. So, but yes, we love to mix quizzes here and there and just to have fun. So
Yes.
that was my quiz.
Ah, I apologize, everybody. That was. I basically broke our only rule for quizzes, which is don't answer fast, give the audience time, even if you know it. Sometimes our research overlaps, so we actually do know the answer because we both research the same stuff. So in the future, I'll try not to do
I do
that.
that all the time. So, guys, it's okay. Ryan, you are okay.
All right, let's see. So there, due to unique water flows in a bay in Ukraine, it's Balaklava. Sometimes they get jellyfish that actually infest the bay. But they get so many jellyfish that the water actually looks white because they're white jellyfish. And there's that many of them in the waters that almost the entire thing almost looks like like it's iced over because of the amount of these white jellyfish that can infest the bay.
Wow, that's so beautiful and creepy at the same
But not
time.
practical because the boats really can't go anywhere or do anything because it ends up just mucking up all their engines and everything, on top of harming the jellyfish, of course, which is bad. So,
Ah, of course. That's the last thing we would like to do that. Can you take a guess?
not fast.
Please take your time.
Okay.
Take it very slowly because I don't know how to phrase this in a way that actually makes it a very guessy. But and whatever, the point is,
Doesn't. Go ahead.
do you know where the first constitution, and more or less guess the time of the first constitution in the world?
Maria, we're doing a video about like. So, guys, sometimes what we do is we pick questions, we put them at the end, and then sometimes Maria doesn't have any, and then she tries to turn a fact into a question, and it just doesn't work out very well. I was just going to skip the trivia because I didn't pick any specifically for this episode like we usually would, but then we ran across a couple, so I threw them in. So just say that as a fact, and then we'll just move on.
I wanted you to look very smart and be like, I know where the first world's constitution came from.
second episode, everybody. We're working the kinks out. What do you got, Mar?
So in 1710, Ukrainian headman Filip Orlik introduced pacts and constitutional rights and freedoms of the Zaporizhian host, and actually basically divided the government into three branches. And it, like, he literally created, is believed to be one of the world's first constitutions in.
So
I thought that was impressive.
One of the most famous Ukrainians now, current day, would have to be the Klitschko brothers, the boxers. And Vladimir Klitschko basically auctioned off his Olympic gold medal in 1996. And the buyer bid $1 million. And it was a charitable auction. And after the sale, the buyer basically immediately returned the medal out of respect to the Klitschkos. Because it was a charitable thing. So he just wanted to donate the money. And then he gave the medal back to Vladimir Klitschko.
That is so beautiful. Like, he actually gave me goosebumps. Will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have something really cool that I also learned. One of the most famous songs that we hear Italian tenors sing is O Sole Mio. And I'm sure as soon as I said O Sole Mio, everybody started kind of thinking about that. And we think it's often referred to be a Neapolitan song, but it was actually written for a contest for a festival in Piedigrotta, which began in Naples. And that's why people believe it's a song, an Italian song, but it was actually composed by Eduardo Di Capua in Odessa, which is nowadays Ukraine.
Okay. Well, Mar, normally we would move on to the trivia section right about now, but is there any other fun facts you would like to share with everybody before we start heading out?
No, I just was very interested on all the critters that they had and all the Slavic myths and legends. And like in every tradition, they have the children who were hunting others and all that stuff. And that was just always fascinating. And especially the twist of the radioactive and how the monsters became larger. That was to me very exciting.
All right. Yeah. I will do one more animal fact then, since those are the ones Maria likes, and then we'll head out of here. Horses have played a key role in Arabian history, and they were first thought to have been domesticated in 4000 BC, but they weren't domesticated in an Arabian area. They were domesticated in Ukraine. And after domestication, they spread throughout Central Asia, Europe, and Arabia. And the Arabian horses were bred for their texture, speed, endurance. If you guys have ever ridden Arabians, you know they're definitely, those are their traits right there. That is basically speed and endurance. And that's what you want if you are a steppe civilization or Arabian cultures and you're having to travel those distances on horse. And basically, it was an essential aid in the spread of the Islamic Empire.
Wow.
Because they had those horses that were domesticated in Ukraine first.
Wow.
All right, guys. Oh, okay. One last fun one. Since we talked about calendars, Ukrainian monk was actually the one that created the modern Christian calendar. So a Ukrainian monk created the modern Christian calendar, but then they still then use the Gregorian calendar, which I think is interesting. They didn't even use their own invention. One more last fun animal one. Can't help myself. Beekeeping in Ukraine is a major economic activity. 700,000 people, 1.5% of the Ukrainian population, actually are engaged in producing honey. So we've got our dogs as pets. They've got their bees in the backyard, but their pets make food. I think they win.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that sounds way more productive.
We love you, Pepita.
Pepita sleeping somewhere.
Who is sleeping somewhere? Pepita was real, guys, just so you know. It's actually, she got named Netterniso because of we got too creative with the titles, the channels, and everything. But Pepita is still around in the background, the dog that's always hiding in the videos. If you kind of held over from the list video days, and she is in the background. You guys will see her in future episodes. She likes to make an appearance on occasion, though she hates the camera. So Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please click the subscribe button if you liked the episode, and give us some suggestions if there's topics you would like us to cover. Hope you guys are enjoying the new transition to a podcast style, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.